Welcome back. Here's our next story from today's Des Moines Register. Chelsea?
Likes, more likes about Iowa State spring game. Ames, if you're looking for answers, hints of what its new coordinator, Taylor Mouser, offense might look like. You attend the wrong spring game scrimmage Saturday. You saw plenty of backups at skill positions on a chilly day inside very windy Jack Trice Stadium. We saw backups loaded with promise, but who have not quite reached the full-time starter amount of promise. From an offensive standpoint, that's about all we saw. Defensively, as usual, John Heacock's side of the ball prevailed. Special teams, walk-on place kicker Kyle Conrarity was a star. Bottom line, today's scrimmage went exactly as planned for a team that's top-heavy with players that have already proven their worth to be considered among the best in the Big 12 Conference. Just how vanilla was the 15th of 15 spring practices? At least offensive side of the ball? I even asked Coach Matt Campbell after concluding his ninth spring season if he had taken anything away from the season. No, he said, not even having to. Think a moment. A lot of our offensive guys were out for various reasons. We wanted to see some of the young guys who could step up and perform and who can play. He saw that and more. He saw that on the offensive side, and he saw the same among the defense, which also shuffled players in and out freely. A lot of young guys got a lot of great opportunities, he said. Here are observations, thoughts, and comments from a live scrimmage that lasted about an hour. Let's start with the Iowa State's quarterback, and yes, Rocco Brecht was just a sideline spectator. That was anticipated. The Big 12's Offensive Freshman of the Year and the Freshman All-American of 2023, Rocco Brecht, had nothing to prove during the spring's final practice. Therefore, redshirted freshman J.J. Cole and true freshman Connor Moberly shared most of Saturday's wonderful opportunity before a few thousand fans. Cole completed 6 of 8 passes for 38 yards. Moberly completed 5 of 7 for 32 yards. They're likely backup number 1 and backup number 2 when the season starts, August 30th, against North Dakota at Jack Trice Stadium. Wide receiver-wise, 10 players combined for 15 receptions, so there's not a lot to be read into anything else there. But with top receivers Jalen Knoll and Jaden Higgins among the abundant nothing-to-gain-by-playing group, I watched Army transfer Isaiah Alston. The Black Knights aren't known as a passing team, which is one of the reasons Alston transferred to the Cyclones. He caught only 2 passes during the official scrimmage, but during the drills before scrimmage, he showed quickness and the ability to make acrobatic catches. He actually moved in with me. He's my roommate, Brecht said. I formed a bond with him, other than just hanging out at the facility. If he's got a question about the offense, I'll be there for him. FYI, Alston played Saturday, but is among the players who've been injured this spring. He'll be getting better, Brecht assured me. And just as you were wondering about how Iowa State would replace kicker Chase Contreras, along comes a dandy walk-on. That'll be Conrarity, the former Dubuque senior star who made 4 of his 5 field goal attempts Saturday, including 3 of 40 yards or more on a windy day. That's important, given the Cyclones' propensity to play one-score games. He's been super impressive, Campbell said after Saturday's final scrimmage. He had a really great 15 practices. The redshirt freshman started turning heads in a good way midway through last season. He's a guy that we became really high on, Campbell said. He's got great distance, and he had a couple 50-yarders in the spring. I asked Brecht about what it means having an accurate kicker, about what having an accurate kicker means to a quarterback. Man, I feel like my confidence level is high knowing he's out there, Brecht told me. I don't think he's missed a spring goal in practice this spring. He's just been waiting his time, waiting his turn. Conrarity paying tuition with a student loan after initially committing to Northern Iowa. I'm working as hard as I can, he said Saturday afternoon. As a walk-on, you have to work yourself even harder to prove yourself. We work hard, we push ourselves. Is a scholarship in his future? If he keeps going that way he is, he'll be in a great spot, Campbell says. The defense makes Iowa State's offense better. a given through Campbell's 8 seasons as the coach has been the defense. You just know the Cyclones will always be on that good side of the ball. You know, almost to the point where you take it for granted. I honestly feel like we've got one of the hardest defenses to go through against in the country, Brecht said after watching Saturday's festivities from the sidelines. I'm just glad I can go up against them in practice. It makes it easier for me in games. Offensive formations didn't look to be different under Mauser, the new coordinator, but a Campbell staff original, two tight ends shared the field at times, running backs ran receiver routes, deep balls weren't thrown, although with Noel, Higgins, and Alston, long balls will be part of the offense in the fall. How do you improve an offense that should be among the best in school history? Our confidence needs to keep building, Brecht said. We lost a lot of games by one possession. Me making better decisions is huge for us. Brecht said that Mauser is a player's coach, and yes, the players know that their new coordinator grew up playing competitive hockey and currently plays in a Sunday hockey league. The connection with him is going to be strong, Brecht said, but then he added, I will never be on skates. I might bet hurt.
One last ride. Dahl, Flora, Relish, final season together at ADM. This article has some great pictures. We have the two athletes standing with their arms crossed on the track. And it says Iowa football commit Brevin Dahl, left, and Iowa State football commit Aiden Flora, pose for a portrait during track practice Wednesday at ADM High School in Adel. And each athlete is wearing, the one is wearing his Hawkeye shirt and the other is wearing his Cyclone shirt. Brevin Dahl and Aiden Flora are easy to find at ADM High School track practice. That's because, well, each is a shadow to the other. The two senior sprinters run in the same events, which means they train for those same events together. You'll find them comparing notes on their performances, making suggestions for improvements, and walking back to the blocks after drills. Dahl and Flora grew up in front of our in and out of athletics together, and they've built a friendship that extends well beyond track trips. Dahl is headed to Iowa to play football. Flora will play at Iowa State. These athletes are focused on being successful in sports and helping each other become the best versions of themselves. A friendship founded off the football field. Dahl and Flora don't remember a time they weren't friends. The two connected during a library playgroup, essentially a daycare that the boys attended each week, according to Dahl. And Flora joked about how, at that age, kids become friends with just about everyone. But something about Dahl and Flora's friendship stuck, aided by their mutual interest in sports. Flora recalled playing in basketball tournaments with Dahl at the local YMCA. Dahl remembered taking to the Waukee practice fields on Sundays for flag football alongside Flora. Somewhere along the way, the friendship evolved into a brotherhood, a bond extending beyond the backfield. And there are certainly times when the two act like siblings. Flora will kick Dahl in the butt and then retort that he didn't kick as hard as his friend kicked him. Dahl will attempt to make Flora crack a smile as he poses for a photo. The duo will joke about the awkwardness of standing back to back like Charlie's Angels. Quote, there are a couple of times when we get under each other's skin, Flora laughed. But it's a brotherly bond, so we can get under each other's skin, and then we'll come over, smack each other on the neck, and we're good, end quote. But like most sibling bonds, it isn't all sarcastic spats and good-natured teasing. Flora grew up with two brothers, Austin and Andrew. Dahl is the oldest of three, with two younger sisters, Micah. So Flora became like the brother Dahl never had, and both boys were basically adopted by their friend's family. The two high school stars shared their signing day experience as the only two athletes at ADM going Division I in football. Dahl accompanied Flora and his parents to a dinner where Flora was selected to the Iowa Shrine Bowl. Adam Dahl's phone is filled with photos of his son, Brevin, and Flora through the years. On first glance, the two blonde-haired, about 6-foot-tall high schoolers who will both suit up at running back in college, pass as actual brothers. And with that bit of brotherly love also comes a healthy dose of competition. Healthy competition aids Dahl and Flora's growth. Competitiveness. It's a trait both athletes share and one that lies at the foundation of their friendship. Quote, being able to compete together, that really brought us together, end quote, Flora said. From Little League district championships to setting school records on the track, Dahl and Flora were always there to push each other. The ADM football stars were one of the top quarterback running back duos in the state over the past couple seasons. In 2022, the duo combined for more than 3,000 rushing yards. Dahl ran for 1,475 yards and 27 touchdowns. Flora collected 1,662 yards and 17 more scores with his feet. This past season, with Dahl sidelined for most of the games with an injury, Flora took on a larger role, finishing the season with 1,932 yards and 27 touchdowns, which doesn't include his statistics in the air. Dahl picked up 347 yards and 4 touchdowns through 2.5 games. Dahl and Flora became better by competing against the best, each other. What sets the duo apart, though, is their ability to keep the rivalry out of the competition. Quote, it's about wanting to see each other succeed and not getting caught up in the competition too much, Dahl said. Being able to walk off the track or the football field and be happy for each other's successes, end quote. Make no mistake, Dahl and Flora are about as competitive as you can be, but both athletes understand that competition doesn't translate to jealousy. Quote, obviously we wish we could beat each other, Flora said, but it's never like, I'm so jealous of him, or I wish he would fail. It's always wishing he would get better, end quote. It's because Dahl and Flora want the best for each other, which is why it hit both players hard when things didn't go as planned during their senior football season. Leaning on faith and friendship after adversity. Dahl and Flora set one major goal for their senior year, break the state record for rushing yards by a team in a single season. With a combined 3,000 yards on the ground between the two the year before, it didn't seem like an unrealistic goal. But plans changed early in the season. In the third game of the season, against Lewis Central, Dahl broke his arm. It was confirmed in the following days that he would miss the remainder of the season. Those preseason aspirations came shattering down. Quote, you work so hard to have your senior season, and we were building up to that point and hoping that's where we'd see the benefits of our hard work, Dahl said. Obviously, that didn't happen. Injuries got in the way, and that was a hard pill to swallow. Not being out there with my team, but I knew that Aiden would step up, which he did, and did all he could do, all he could to get us to the best point we could, end quote. Flora did his best, rushing for nearly 2,000 yards and throwing for over 1,000 more. He posted those numbers despite missing a game after aggravating his shoulder. But while putting the offensive load on his back, Flora also needed to look out for his friend. Quote, I was praying over him to keep his emotions in check, Flora said. This is not his life. There's more than just football, end quote. When Dahl needed someone to talk to, Flora was there. He watched the injury make Dahl hungrier and more competitive. Flora saw a disruptive injury bring his friend closer to his faith. There are a few upsides to an injury, but in hindsight, Dahl learned to look at the silver linings. Quote, it really helped me gain an appreciation for what I had, Dahl said. My relationship with God definitely grew. I wouldn't say I'm happy I broke my arm, but I'm happy it gave me the appreciation for the game and everything else in my life, end quote. Track offers Dahl and Flora one last chance to compete together. On the gridiron, on the court, on the diamond, on the track. There were rarely a time when Dahl and Flora didn't compete alongside each other. But soon enough, the teammates and friends will depart to separate campuses and separate sidelines. Dahl signed with the Iowa Hawkeyes as a running back. Dahl opted to walk on at Iowa State. I think that means Flora opted to walk on at Iowa State, also as a running back. One friend in Iowa City, the other in Ames. For the first time it will be Dahl versus Flora instead of Dahl and Flora. Quote, "It'll definitely be weird," Dahl said. "We had a little taste of that one of our first years of tackle football. Our team split up and I was on the Black Falcons and he was on the Red Falcons," end quote. Like usual, the soon-to-be opponents won't let a little in-state rivalry get between their friendship. Quote, "What's going to be fun is that we're both on offense," Flora said, "so we won't be 100% competing against each other. My brother can succeed, and I want him to succeed, even if we're playing each other," end quote. Dahl and Flora aren't focused on that right now. There is about 1 month remaining in the high school track and field season. The two compete on some relay teams together and compete against each other in the sprint events. As of February 19th, Dahl and Flora are part of the third fastest 4x100 and fourth fastest 4x200 relay teams in Iowa. Dahl competes on the third fastest 4x400 relay squad, and Flora is on the fourth fastest 800 medley relay team statewide. Just like football, the two teammates set goals for their final season of high school sports. Dahl wanted to win an individual state championship. He wants to win a title in one or both sprint relay events. Heck, he wants to help ADM to the team title. Flora wants to claim first and second alongside Dahl. He wants to succeed in the relay events and win a team title as well. And even if the season doesn't end with a title win or two, there will be at least one victory for Dahl and Flora. The friends got to finish things how they started, together. Quote, "Just doing track, it's nice," Flora said. "Being able to compete with Brevin for the last time is cool, and it's nice to be able to focus on that," end quote. There's a nice picture on this page. It's the boys when they were younger. There's five boys standing holding a banner that says Little League Iowa District 3 Champions. And they're all in their Little League uniforms and smiling. And we'll go over to Chelsea.
Observations from Iowa's final spring practice. Iowa City. Iowa's open spring football practice on Saturday brought colder and windier conditions than were predicted. So much for that 50-degree forecast, Kirk Ferentz mused after a spirited two-hour practice before thousands of bundled-up fans at Kinnick Stadium. Unpredictability was the theme of the 15-practice session of Iowa's spring football, thanks to the offense being implemented by the new offensive coordinator, Tim Lester. That made things difficult on a salty defense that Ferentz thinks might be the most experience he's had in the 26 years as Iowa's head coach. It was a stressful spring, veteran middle linebacker Jay Higgins said, before repeating to himself for effect, "It was a stressful spring." Higgins didn't sound like he was exaggerating when he said it took him 13 practices to figure out what Lester NFL-style offense inspired but what Kyle Shanahan does with the San Francisco 49ers has brought to Iowa City. Right now, the Hawkeyes' lack of on-field talent at quarterback to really make its defense pay. But even so, one recent practice saw Lester's offense use pre-snap motion on 60 out of 67 play calls. The biggest positive for the offense was that it was more uncorked, that it helped uncork more big runs than Iowa's seen in many years, according to defensive coaches. And if Lester's offense is throwing off veteran defense that prides itself on filling gaps, run gaps with their defense fits, then it feels like tangible change coming to Kinnick Stadium on August 31st versus Illinois State. No, that doesn't mean that offense will be dynamic, but it'll definitely look different. Lester tried to scheme around what the Iowa defense does well and confuse it. That is a tactic the former Western Michigan head coach picked up in his NFL experience last season with the Green Bay Packers. Like the running back jabs right, Lester knows I'm going to go left, Higgins said. Or if the guard pulls, he knows I'm going to see that guard pull and then go the opposite way. He basically plays with us all the time. It was really fun. It felt like a game week every time we came on the practice field, end quote. Higgins said for the first time since he's been at Iowa, the defensive coaches, led by coordinator Phil Parker, weren't trying to do. And, by the way, What we saw that Saturday was a very vanilla offensive plan from Lester, who situated himself in the Kinnick press box to call plays. They keep it really simple today. Smart guy, Higgins said. There's probably something in here with cameras, end quote. We know the offense had some good days and bad days. Saturday seemed like a decent day. But with the weather and minimal parts of the playbook revealed, there's only so much that can be concluded. Overall, Ferentz said of the offense, the biggest thing from week to week, practice to practice, we've seen improvement, end quote. With all that, here are some things I observed from Saturday's context with other interviews done this spring, with a lot of names mentioned and bolded. Observations about Iowa's offense. Let's actually start with the running backs, a room that's so deep that without the starter LeSean Williams out, sprained left ankle, there was no noticeable drop-off. A familiar face that looked really good was Caleb Johnson, especially when he was able to get outside the tackles. Johnson could be the offensive best rediscovered weapon in Lester's era. Too often in the failed Brian Ferentz offense, Johnson's runs never got going. With Lester's motions keeping defenses guessing, Johnson might have been able to find more creases that he saw last year from being limited to 463 rushing yards and a 4.0 per carry. It appears Kamari Moulton has surpassed Jazwyn Patterson on the depth chart. Moulton and Johnson got working with the first team offense. Patterson and Max White, who scored a 9-yard touchdown, were mostly the second team. Moulton gives Iowa a nice change of pace speed option and still has 4 years of eligibility after playing only 4 games as a true freshman. Terrell Washington Jr. finishes the day with a long touchdown run up the right sideline. He switches to receiver this spring, but Lester says he'll still be used for some carries too. Washington has some juice to him, but also dropped a pass. He's young, but exciting with the ball in his hands and gives receivers and coach John Budmeyer something extra to work with, especially with the surprising departure of Jacob Bostic. While both quarterbacks led touchdown drives Saturday, second string Marco Linez outplayed temporary starter Deacon Hill on the strength of his ability to run. That said, Linez was going against second and third teamers on defense while Hill went up against number one units. On one play call for Hill, it appeared Lester dialed up a deep shot to Caden Wetgen, who broke up against cornerback TJ Hall. But Hill checked it down for a short gain. Hill made up for that lost opportunity by connecting with freshman Dayton Howard for a long catch-and-run game, then delivering a 3-yard strike to Wetgen on third and goal for a touchdown on one of his best throws of the shaky day. It sounds like Wetgen has been the offensive star for the spring in Iowa, with Lester finding ways to get the speedster a football in space. Lanzell seems to be more deliberate than Hill in the pocket, but he has a really nice long completion to Caleb Brown in an early 11-on-11 action. Lanez also kept the defense on its toes in the red zone with some scrambles and designated runs, and that's a wrinkle that Iowa should consider during the season too. Wetgen Brown and Jarrett Brewey were in the clear top three at receiver with Seth Anderson, soft tissue, out for the most of the spring. But Ferentz noted that a little bit that we did see of Anderson, it looked good, end quote. It was great to see Luke Lachey look like his old self at tight end. Lachey's snap count was limited after recovering from right leg surgery. He caught one pass and made a big gain out of it. Addison Ostranga, right-hand injury, was out, so tight ends overall were not much of a factor Saturday, except that to change when the full playbook was available. Lachey already looked like an NFL tight end and could be a first-rounder this time at 2025 if he stays healthy. With center Logan Jones, shoulder surgery back in May, and right tackle Ginnings Dunker, undisclosed, out, here was Iowa's starting offensive line from left to right. Mason Richmond, Bo Steffens, Tyler Ellsbury, Connor Colby, and Nick DeYoung. Ferentz said he thought the offensive line was more mature and physical than it had been in years. On the improvement of the line as a whole since January, Jones says, it's just ridiculous, end quote. And he meant that in a good way. The second team offensive line from left to right was Jack Dotsler, Cade Piper, Jeremy Chaplin, Leighton Jones, and Trevor Lauk. The big topic everyone wants to complain about, the quarterback, will look better once Cade McNamara returns. He's still on the track for a full recovery by June from his torn ACL, and Ferentz said that his throwing has been very good. The transfer portal should see some new entries as soon as teams wrap up their spring practice across the country, and Iowa will be looking for immediate quarterback help. Observations about Iowa's defense. Two key regulars were out, including defensive tackle Yaya Black and number one quarterback Jamari Harris. Outside linebacker Kyler Fisher was also out. Additionally, the reps were minimal for inside linebackers Jay Higgins and Nick Jackson, who really didn't need reps. That meant that Carson Sherrar and Jaden Harrell manned the inside linebacker spots in Iowa's 4-2-5 defense, and Sherrar flashed right away on the interception of Hill in 11-on-11 action. Both players should be in line for starting jobs in 2025, but in the meantime, they need to stay sharp for now. The top four defensive ends in Iowa are Dante Craig, Ethan Herkett, Max Lewinwell, and Brian Allen. On this first play, after Hill connected with Brown for a nice long gainer, Craig came back untouched around Richmond at left tackle for a touch sack of Hill. Maybe the biggest spring battle has been seen who will replace Cooper DeJean, who was on the sideline watching Saturday at cornerback. DeJean, who is likely to be a first-round draft pick for the NFL, picked up on Thursday and watched John Nestor and TJ Hall run with the number one unit with DeShawn Lee, mostly running with the second group. Nestor has been playing at the cash spot this spring, and it seems like he's got an inside track to supplement DeJean, even though Lee has more game experience. Nestor also was Iowa's top punt gunner Saturday, a role that DeJean mastered. We'll feel better about all three of them after 15 practices, Ferentz said, and it's a good thing, especially with Harris's durability concerns. Observations about special teams. You're going to like punter Reese Dakin. He does wear number 9 like fellow Melbourne Australian native Tory Taylor did. But Dakin is 4 inches and 30 pounds smaller, so he'll look different. His punts, though, look gorgeous. He launched one missile from his own goal line that landed at the opposite 20-yard line. He downed two straight punts inside the 5 and near the sideline like he was dropping in a 7-iron for a birdie putt on number 12 at Augusta National. Dakin's punts looked less booming with punt rush, but that comfort level should grow over time. Remember, this is his first exposure to competitive American football. We didn't get to see the return game on Saturday, but special teams coordinator LeVar Woods on Thursday listed several names at kick returner. One of them was Johnson, who had the longest return of the 2023 season. Washington, Moulton, and Zach Lutmer are also in the mix. Wetgen, the fastest player on the team, is likely punt returner. On his final field goal attempt of the day, Drew Stevens rocketed home a 56-yarder, though the south end zone upright. That's a strong way to end a cold Saturday at Kinnick.
Lee wins weight class at Olympic trials. Former Hawkeye, now one step from Paris. Iowa wrestling legend Spencer Lee looked every bit of the wrestler he once was, winning the 57-kilogram class at the U.S. Olympic trials on Saturday. To qualify for the 2024 Paris Olympics, he must now take third or better at the World Olympic Games qualifier from May 9th through 12th in Istanbul, Turkey. His knee injuries from his days as a Hawkeye looked to be firmly in the rearview mirror as he rolled with ease to victories over Nico Megaldis in a 8-0 decision, former NCAA champion at Penn State, and Zane Richards, number one seed, two-time NCAA All-American at Illinois, to reach the best of three finals. In the finals, he drew former Iowa Hawkeye All-American Thomas Gilman. In the first match, tied at one entering the second period, Lee picked up a two-point takedown and a two-point gut wrench to take a 5-1 lead. Gilman looked to have a four-point feet-to-back takedown, but it was ruled a two-point takedown. Gilman's challenge was unsuccessful, giving Lee an additional point for a 6-3 win. In the second match, Lee and Gilman were tied late in the second period. However, with under 30 seconds to go, Lee got a takedown and gut-wrenched his way into a pin to secure his spot for Team USA, should he take third in the World Olympic Games qualifier in May. If Lee qualifies for the weight in Istanbul, he'll be the first Olympian that Iowa wrestling has had since Gilman, who won a bronze medal in the 2020 Olympics in Tokyo. Regardless of what comes next, Lee looked the part of the healthy wrestler we haven't seen in some time since his knee injuries hampered him in his final season with Iowa. In his match against Richards, he had 13 points in total, including 9 in the first period, showcasing the blistering offensive pace he's capable of. A pin on Gilman was just the cherry on top of a stellar outing from the phenom, who is now just one step away from competing in Paris this August. Quote, "If it wasn't for the Iowa Hawkeye program being supportive of me, I'd probably be retired, to be honest," Lee told USA Wrestling. "I had such a tough time staying healthy and trying to compete to the best of my ability. I'm still not healthy, but I'm healthy enough to wrestle hard," end quote. How Iowans fared at U.S. Olympic trials. On the men's freestyle side of things, both Alex Marinelli and Tony Cassiopi, maybe, came up short in their shot at an Olympic bid. Marinelli won his first match against Tyler Berger, a former three-time All-American with Nebraska, in a 4-0 decision. He then lost to Jason Nolf, a former national champion with Penn State, who went on to take out U.S. wrestling legend Jordan Burroughs in the Challenge Tournament Finals. Cassiopi, wrestling down at 97 kilograms, lost his first match to Oklahoma State's Christian Carroll. For the Iowa women, it was a tough tournament for its heavy hitters. Kylie Welker, who was perceived to be the team's best chance at an Olympian, dropped in the Challenge semifinals to North Central's Yelena McCoyd in a 6-4 decision. McCoyd's first period feet-to-back four-point takedown was the difference. McCoyd was beaten soundly by Welker in the NCWWC finals, but she got her revenge at the trials. Ultimately, Welker finished fourth by going 3-1 in State College, defeating teammate Marilyn Deed, who did not place, in the first round, and beating Skylar Grote and Diamond Gulliford in the consolations. She was followed by Felicity Taylor at 53 kilograms, who took third place in a solid showing, losing her first match but taking three wins on the backside over Hawkeye teammate Brianna Gonzalez, number one, Vale Baker, and Alicia Hawk. Reese Laramendi also took fourth at 68 kilograms, but no other Hawkeyes placed at the Olympic trials. Rose Cassiopi, sister of Tony Cassiopi, was initially seeded for the 76-kilogram class with Welker and Deed, but did not compete at the Olympic trials. Brandon Marshall of Big Game Wrestling Club in North Liberty took fourth at 97 kilograms in Greco-Roman. Over to Chelsea.
Meet McCollum's Drake basketball coaching staff. Ben McCollum's staff at Drake is starting to come together. The new men's basketball coach brought on three assistants, including former Drake assistant John Sash, former new Northwestern Missouri State player, and assistant Xavier Kurth. At least two of the coaches changed their biographies on social media, and Drake recently confirmed the hirings on social media. Here's a look at the new coaches of the Bulldogs men's basketball program. Bryston Williams, previously assistant coach at Wyoming. Williams joined McCollum's staff with a resume that includes experience in the Missouri Valley Conference and the NBA. He comes to Des Moines from Wyoming, where he joins the staff in March of 2023. Prior to Wyoming, he served as assistant coach at Indiana State for 2 seasons, helping the Sycamores to 23 wins in the 2022-2023 season. Under his mentorship, McCauley was named the MVC Newcomer of the Year, and Cameron Henry earned all MVC honors. Williams spent 3 seasons as an assistant for the Detroit Pistons. His responsibilities included the development of the team's mechanical shooting program, pre- and post-practice workouts, film breakdowns, and post-game reports. And this isn't his first time in Iowa. In 2016 through 2017, he spent time with the Iowa Energy. Williams also shares a connection to Northwest Missouri State. He played 112 games with 71 starts for the Bearcats. He was part of McCollum's first recruiting class at Northwestern in 2009. After graduation and time in the Memphis Grizzlies organization, he spent 2 seasons as a graduate assistant. Xavier Kurth, previously assistant coach at Northwest Missouri State. Kurth stayed local to McCollum first as a player and then as the assistant coach. He played for the Bearcats from 2014 to 2018, helping Northwest Missouri State to its first NCAA Division II national championship in 2017. As a player, he compiled 439 points and grabbed 236 rebounds in 84 games, including 46 starts. He served as part-time assistant after graduation and remained in that role for 4 seasons, during which the Bearcats captured 3 additional national titles. He spent the last 2 seasons as a full-time assistant coach under McCollum. Josh Sash, previously head coach at Indian Hills. Sash, who has experienced success at several coaching stops, will return to his alma mater. He earned his master's degree from Drake after getting his bachelor's from William Penn and an associate degree from Indian Hills. He served as Drake graduate assistant under Keno Davis, helping the Bulldogs to a 28-5 record, the MVC regular season and tournament titles, and a five seed in the NCAA tournament during the 2007 to 2008 season. Most recently, Sash served as the head coach at Indian Hills for 1 season. He led the Warriors to a 29-6 record and an appearance in the NJCAA national tournament. Before taking over at Indian Hills, Sash served as an assistant to North Dakota State for 3 seasons, helping the Bison make it to a three consecutive Summit League tournament championship games. He spent 1 season as the head coach at the Des Moines Area Community College, leading the Bears to a 29-4 record and the conference regular season and postseason championship to the number 2 seed in the national tournaments. Sash made several other stops in coaching, including as an assistant at Indian Hills from 2015 to 2017, helping the Warriors to conserve consecutive trips to the NJCAA National Tournament.
Cubs' new star, doing damage. This from Phoenix. Michael Busch was just like every other Minnesota kid. He grew up playing hockey and still is in love with the sport. He idolized Joe Mauer, Torrey Hunter, Johan Santana, Joe Nathan, and every other twin. And yes, he still anxiously awaits the time he can finally celebrate that first Vikings Super Bowl title. In the meantime, well, he's got the city of Chicago celebrating its gift from Los Angeles. Busch, a Dodgers castoff, has emerged as one of the game's premier hitters in April while establishing himself as a serious National League Rookie of the Year candidate. After homering in 5 consecutive games to tie a Cubs franchise record, Busch had the team sitting with an 11-7 record as they began a 7-game homestand Friday. Certainly no player in the National League has been hotter the past 2 weeks. Busch led baseball with 6 homers entering Friday, hitting .362 since April 3, with 3 doubles and 13 RBI. Quote, I'm feeling pretty good up there, says Bush, 26, from Inver Grove Heights, a Minneapolis suburb. I had so much fun during the streak. Now I'm just trying to keep it up, end quote. If this keeps up, the Cubs are going to have to start sending boxes of Lou Malnati's pizza and Garrett popcorn to the Dodgers' offices to thank them for sending Bush their way. The Dodgers certainly saw the potential and had the foresight to draft him with the 31st pick in the 2019 draft, but said they simply had no room to play Bush. So they sent him to the Cubs in January along with Yency Almonte for two prospects, pitcher Jackson Ferris and infielder Zier Hope. The deal could still pay off for the Dodgers in the future, but it's looking like an absolute steal for the Cubs right now. Quote, when you have a future Hall of Famer at DH and at first and at second, it doesn't leave a lot of playing time for other people, end quote, Jed Hoyer, Cubs president of baseball operations, said when the trade happened. Quote, and hopefully that's something we can benefit from, end quote. And Bush holds no ill will towards the Dodgers. Quote, I've got no hard feelings. There's no bad blood, nothing like that, Bush tells USA Today Sports. Everybody gets in a sense, but I've got pride too. You want to beat them now. It's that competitive spirit, almost like a brotherly competitive spirit. It was bittersweet getting traded, but things usually take care of themselves, end quote. Bush certainly wasn't going to be the DH with two-time MVP. I'm going to spell this, I'm sorry. S-H-O-H-E-I. Otani making $700 million. He wasn't going to be the first baseman with former MVP and potential future Hall of Famer Freddie Freeman manning first base. But his natural position is at second base, and with Gavin Lux badly struggling, .148, .374 OPS, Bush could be in the Dodgers' everyday lineup. We'll never know what might have happened, but the Cubs cringe to think where they'd be without the big fella playing first base. Quote, he's a good, heady player and off to a great start, Cubs manager Craig Counsell says. I've thrown the word consistent out a lot, labeling him. To do damage and to be consistent and to be pretty good with pitch selection, if he can do a couple of those things really, really well, it sets up a pretty good floor for you as an offensive player. He's really doing all of those things well right now. He's putting the ball in play, he's making good swing decisions, and he's doing damage. He does all of those things well enough. It should spell for a consistent major league hitter. We're grateful to have him for sure, end quote. This is a guy who was undrafted out of high school, wasn't recruited by the University of North Carolina until his senior year in high school, and didn't get even a partial athletic scholarship, only financial aid. He worked his way to become a first-round draft pick, 31st overall in the 2019 draft. He tore it up at AAA Oklahoma City, hitting .323 with 27 homers, 26 doubles, 90 RBI with a 1.049 OPS in 98 games, but after making his major league debut with the Dodgers, played only 27 games, hitting .167 with 2 homers and 7 RBI. Now, here he is, helping carry the Cubs' offense. The Cubs have scored 101 runs this season, averaging 5.61 runs a game, fourth best in the National League. He's been driving the train for us, says Cubs starter Kyle Hendricks. It's super cool to see a guy come up and take advantage of the situation, end quote. Bush had played just 26 games at first base in his professional career when he joined the Cubs. The last time he saw a regular time at first base was back in college. Now, here he is, being asked to learn a new position on a team contending for the NL Central Division title. Quote, I'm so happy for him, said Cubs all-star shortstop Dansby Swanson. He's able to come to a place where he can get an opportunity to shine, and he's hit the ground running with it. And he's kind of doing this while playing a little bit of a different position. He's just handled it so well in so many different ways, with his maturity, preparation, and feel for the game. It's fun to see a guy like that, such a likable guy, and a team-first guy doing this, end quote. You want selflessness? He was just one game away from setting the Cubs' all-time franchise record for consecutive games with a homer, and in the eighth inning Tuesday night with a chance for the record, he drew a walk instead of swinging for the fences, setting up Ian Happ's go-ahead grand slam two pitches later. He walked to the plate for the first time Wednesday afternoon, saw third baseman Eugenio Suarez playing back, and bunted for a base hit. He came up in the eighth in the same game. The Diamondbacks intentionally walked a hitter to pitch to him and slapped key run-scoring single up the middle. Quote, he's amazing, an amazing person, an amazing dude, and an amazing player, says Cubs center fielder Cody Bellinger, who briefly remembers Bush from his Dodgers days. We can all talk about the bat, but he looks really, really good. He's a great, great dude, and he fits in so well into this clubhouse. I'm so happy for him to see the results, end quote. And of course, getting the chance to prove a lot of folks wrong. And we're going to switch over to some Iowa Life news, but over to Chelsea.
Where to eat near Drake University in Des Moines for the Drake Relays. Elite high school athletes from Iowa, as well as college and professional athletes, all head to Drake University for the Drake Relays. Athletes compete in pole vaulting, relays, shot putting, hurdles, and more, with many events taking place at Drake University's Blue Oval on the north side of campus. Before or after the meet, head out for one of these 9 restaurants in the Drake neighborhood that serve everything from diner fare to hummus to breakfast and pizza. Dig in. Black Cat Ice Cream. Black Cat Ice Cream makes handcrafted ice cream daily from owner Alex Carter right in the back of the shop in the Drake neighborhood. While the flavors change every week, you could find red velvet Oreo, sugar cookie with sweet cream, vegan chocolate, or gluten-free and dairy-free Hawaiian Punch sorbet. Note that there are always vegan and gluten-free options on the menu. Sit on the patio when the weather cooperates and don't be surprised to spot a stray cat or two lurking around. Black Cat Ice Cream is at 2811 Cottage Grove Avenue. Dough Company Pizza. Dough Co. Pizza specializes in New York-style thin crust pizza served down the street from Drake's campus. Order pizza by the slice or the pie and feed a crowd with their gargantuan 26-inch pizza. Dough Company Pizza offers specialty pies such as the pepperoni popper covered with pepperoni, bacon, cream cheese, jalapenos, and green onions. Gluten-free and vegan options are available. The restaurant also offers sandwiches such as turkey club and a grinder, as well as salads. Doco Pizza is at 2300 University Avenue. Drake Diner. It could be said that you have never truly experienced dining in Des Moines until you check out the Drake Diner, a staple in the restaurant since 1987. The restaurant sports classic comfort foods and serves as a time capsule to mid-century eateries with its counter seating, deep booths, and kitchen open to the dining room. Order diner classics such as meatloaf, a hot beef, or liver and onions. Or try the Drake Diner Original Maytag Burger topped with Iowa Maytag blue cheese, sautéed onions, and Monterey Jack cheese. Breakfast with omelets, chicken fried steak, and egg sandwiches is served all day. Hit up the patio as the weather warms. Drake Diner is at 1111 25th Street. Ferdinando's Mexican Grill. Barbacoa or blackened fish tacos, seasoned veggies or vegan chorizo burritos, tortas, and quesadillas make the menu at Ferdinando's Mexican Grill. Fans of the restaurant love the make-your-own burrito options with fresh tortillas, both corn and flour. Fernando's is at 2650 University. Gershaw Ethiopian Grill. The family-owned Gershaw Ethiopian Grill offers fast, casual dishes such as spongy sourdough, flatbed injera, or rice that customers can then add vegetables and meat options. Fans of the restaurant love the Dora Watt with chicken, onions, garlic, ginger, boiled eggs, and barberry, a warm blend of Ethiopian spices. Many dishes are vegetarian. Gershaw Ethiopian is at 2316 University Avenue. Haiku. Get the feel of the Blue Bathed Club paired with Asian fusion fare at Haiku. This restaurant offers a mix of Chinese and Thai cuisine, along with Japanese dishes, including sushi. Try everything from Mongolian beef and chicken katsu to coconut shrimp and Thai curry. Go for a sushi boat for two with 8 pieces of sushi, 16 pieces of sashimi, and shrimp tempura roll and a dragon roll. Or try the yaki udon, Japanese stir-fried noodles with mixed vegetables. Vegetarian and gluten-free dishes available. Haiku is at 1315 31st Street. Hummus Mediterranean Grill. Fast casual dishes at Hummus Mediterranean Grill start with the choice of chickpea falafel, chicken, lamb, and beef shawarma or gyro meats. Then add garnishes and sauces. Do try the namesake hummus or the baba ganoush. Hummus shares space with Fernando's. Hummus Mediterranean Grill is at 2650 University. La Zaza, Indo-Pakistani cuisine. Step into La Zaza to experience the pungent odor of Indo-Pakistani cuisine at this family-owned restaurant that serves Punjabi food buffet style for lunch. Tandoori chicken, samosas, naan and kebabs use mom-and-pop home-style recipes. Order off the menu, which include vegetarian dishes for dinner. La Zaza is at 1409 23rd Street. Lucky Horse Beer and Burgers. Lucky Horse opened on University Avenue in July of 2020 as a place for students in the Drake area to come after classes or work with a relaxing environment. Lucky Horse offers sports bar style menu with pickle fries, white cheddar cheese curds, burgers on brioche buns, sandwiches including shaved prime rib and Italian sausage, salads and flatbreads topped with truffle pear or barbecue chicken. Gluten-free buns available on request, while vegetarian items include black bean burger and buffalo cauliflower are marked on the menu. Lucky Horse is at 2331 University Avenue.
How Iowa native Hoyt ended up opening for AJR on short notice. Iowa native Andrew Hoyt said the stars aligned when he got a call from Live Nation on Tuesday afternoon. The musician grew up in Grimes. He sings, plays the ukulele and guitar, and is a substitute music teacher. With just hours before the show was scheduled to start, he became the opening act for AJR at Wells Fargo Arena. Why did Andrew Hoyt only get a few hours' notice to play with AJR in Des Moines? AJR's original opener was Dean Lewis, an Australian singer and songwriter. Lewis posted on his Instagram story the day of the show saying, quote, "I am currently sitting in the ER with a suspected concussion. I am not going to be able to perform my show for you tonight, opening for AJR." Lewis later posted that he had an accident with a bench press in a hotel gym before the show, but would be okay. His absence left a hole in the show. Live Nation started making calls. Hoyt said he was on a run downtown, and he's lucky he heard the call. Quote, "As we're talking, I'm actively walking to my car," Hoyt said. He told the caller, quote, "I can be there. I said I can be there in 15 minutes," end quote. How musician Andrew Hoyt went from self-made to center stage at Wells Fargo Arena. Hoyt doesn't even have a manager, he said. After getting the invitation, he called his girlfriend for outfit advice and threw some merch in a bag. He barely made a sound check, and he didn't even have a written set list. Quote, "There's so much noise," he said. "I was like, I gotta remember what to say," end quote. After a pep talk from his girlfriend backstage and only 2 hours from when he got the phone call, Hoyt entered the spotlight and performed in front of more than 4,000 people. Before this, he said his largest crowd was maybe 2,000. Hoyt called the experience, quote, "mind-blowing," and before his last song, he made a call to his mom on stage. Hoyt said by the end of his act, it felt like a show of 12 people, but more importantly, it felt like home. And there's a nice selfie that is with this article. It's Andrew Hoyt as he's posing with two of the three members of the band AJR on April 16th. Hoyt filled in as the opening act for the band's show at Wells Fargo Arena in Des Moines after another musician was able to perform at the last minute. And there was also another picture of Hoyt performing. And it says, Andrew Hoyt opens for AJR at Wells Fargo Arena on April 16th. And it shows him playing his guitar and singing into the microphone. That brings us to the end of the Des Moines Register for today. I'm Laura Gibson, and my partner at the microphone has been Chelsea Bernholtz. Earlier, you heard Rebecca Cloud and Seth Anderson. You can listen to IRIS programs on any computer or smart device at any time at iowaradioreading.org. Support for today's readings comes from the Des Moines Register, Iowa Public Radio, Iowa PBS, and bensoundmusic.com. Thank you for listening to IRIS, Iowa's first and only radio reading service.